Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee served the Lord for more than 7 decades, and these life studies represent his contribution to the ever-expanding understanding of the revelation of the Bible. The purpose of these life studies is to present the truths contained in the Scriptures and to minister the genuine life supply, to solve the common and hard problems found in the Bible, and to open up every book of the Bible through interpretation. We're very happy to bring you selected portions from his speaking today. If you'd like to learn more about the life studies, please visit our website at lifestudy.com. Simply lifestudy.com. Now, here's today's program. Anyone who has grown up going to Sunday school realizes that Daniel is a book of wonderful Bible stories. But in reality, these stories convey not just moral lessons for children. They convey the reality of God's economy to us. But to get beyond the surface of the book, we do need some help. And I think we'll get that help today in this life study, if the Lord is merciful, from Daniel chapter 4. And Francis Ball has joined us once again. Francis, welcome back to the broadcast.
It's always good to be in these programs with you, Chris.
Well, Francis, of course, Daniel is a book that has a lot of dreams in it, and we have another dream today that comes up in chapter 4. In chapter 2, we had the dream of the great human image, and really that's the central focus of this entire book. Now today, again, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has a second dream. Maybe we should begin by having you tell us about this second dream and a little bit of the interpretation that Daniel gave the king regarding it.
Well, this second dream is quite a frightening dream for Nebuchadnezzar to have, so he tried to get an interpretation from the wise men in his kingdom, but none could interpret it. Eventually, Daniel is brought in and does interpret it. And the dream was about a great and strong tree. The height of it had reached to the heavens. It spread out to the whole earth. The birds were in the branches. The cattle were in the shade. And all of the people were eating from the fruit of the tree. This was such a glorious picture. But while he was seeing that, he was watching in the visions of his head, and he saw a holy one, a watcher, coming down from heaven. And he cried out, "Cut down the tree and cut off the branches and strip off its foliage and scatter the fruit and let the beasts flee from it and the birds from its branches, but leave a stump in the earth." This is a strange dream indeed, but when Daniel comes in to interpret this dream, it makes it clear what it was saying. Daniel interpreted it this way. He says, "The Most High God decreed that you, Nebuchadnezzar, would be driven out from among mankind. You would dwell with the beasts of the field and made to eat grass as bulls and lose your reasoning for a period of time until you would come to know that the Most High is the ruler over the kingdom of men, and your kingdom will be taken from you. After you have come to know that the heavens rule, then you will be restored." Daniel's interpretation makes it clear to Nebuchadnezzar that the purpose of this dream is that he may know that it's God in the heavens who really rules. The heavens do rule.
Francis, this touches the point today, this matter of the pride exhibited by the king, and the effect that that pride has, and then the drastic measures sometimes that the Lord has to go through to deal with that pride in man. I think we'll all be enlightened today. Let's get into this message this way. We have a real transition now. We were in chapter 3 in our last broadcast, and of course that's a chapter where Nebuchadnezzar throws these 3 faithful young servants of the Lord into the furnace. But now we begin chapter 4 this way. In chapter 4, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live in all the earth, may your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders which the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Actually, Francis, an interesting way to begin this chapter. From one who is tormenting God's people, now he's praising God in a sense. And the praise that he offers the Lord comes back again at the end of the chapter. Verse 37 says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just, and he's able to humble those who walk in pride." I guess we both agree a much higher praise offered here.
I should say so. There's lots of revelation had come out of the interpretation of that dream and of all the experiences that he went through to experience the purpose of that dream. That made him realize who God is and who Nebuchadnezzar is.
Well, we want to see how he got from the praise at the beginning of this chapter to the higher praise at the end of the chapter. Let's join Witness Lee with our first portion.
I think in the children meeting, most of the teachers like to use this book as a book of good stories. It is, but this book is a book of the divine revelation concerning God's economy. This book of God's economy takes a particular way to present God's economy. Not in theology, not in doctrine, not just in teaching, but in cases. Case after case. You have six cases here, showing you what is God's economy, how God's economy could be carried out, and how God's economy could be understood. These six cases are illustrations. Apparently, all cases stand alone. Seemingly, they don't have anything to do with each other. Actually, they are connected together. Okay, let's go to chapter 4. First, Nebuchadnezzar's praise concerning God. To praise God is too good. Think about it. In the previous chapter, what he did, he threw the three God servants into the furnace. Now in chapter 4, at the beginning, he praised God. Does this continue the previous chapter? You say no, but I say yes. He praised concerning God in his greatness, might, eternal kingdom, and everlasting dominion. In his first praise at the beginning of the chapter, he only prays without exalt. Then his second praise, Nebuchadnezzar praise and exalt and honor. Different, something added. And at the last, you have the sentence, that because he is able to abase those who walk in pride, including himself. He learned the lesson to be abased when he was proud. But at the beginning in his phrase, there's not such a word. You just compare these two phrases. A lot of improvement. A great lesson he learned. Why he did that? Put up a big image, golden. Because he was proud to the uttermost. Daniel, you are a hero, but I am such a king. Right away, chapter 4 follows to teach him a lesson, a hard lesson. He was not that kind of big gentleman. He was a beast. In chapter 2, a gentleman. Now, in chapter 4, God made that man a beast to teach him a real lesson.
Well, Francis, we've jumped ahead here a little bit to see the conclusion, and we're going to come back and really look at the details that fill in the middle here. We have these two praises at the end of the chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, quite a progression. It's easy to see the progression from chapter 3 to chapter 4, from when he was throwing the three young servants of the Lord into the furnace, and now to come to the point where he's willing to praise God. But the progression in his praising from the beginning of the chapter to the end in chapter 4 is quite a bit more subtle. Maybe you could help us a little bit to show us how this second praise indicates a real advancement and that he had really not only seen something, but experienced something.
Well, of course, he had really, by the end of this interpretation and the fulfillment of that interpretation of his dream, really realized that instead of being the gentleman that he thought he was a beast. And this experience brought him to recognize that God really knows how to deal with pride and bring us down to nothing. He is able to abase those who walk in pride, the verse says. So this is really what had happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. He had been abased to such an extent that he was a beast, eating like the bulls do of the grass and being there where the dew would cover him. This was just a revelation of what he really was in his nature. He was not the gentleman that he thought he was, and this really brought down his pride. And so he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of the heavens, because all his works are truth and his ways justice, and because he is able to abase those who walk in pride," meaning himself.
Well, between these two praises, of course, he had the dream and the interpretation, and Daniel did his best to really inform and alert the king of what was about to befall him. It says in verse 29, 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" Francis, he had 12 months to consider, and still his heart is filled with pride after he got the interpretation of the dream. Of course, the dream was altogether related to how God was about to deal with his pride. Let's go back and look at Nebuchadnezzar.
Daniel told him the interpretation. Daniel told him, "That big tree is you. Whatever you have, whatever given to you, all are good for you to be proud. In human history, probably you are the first one to be so high, so great, so majestic. Let's see you. But you be careful. One day, God will take away not only your kingdom, your glory, your majesty, but also your what? Your human reason. And change your heart to a heart of the beast. In other words, God is going to make you a beast. You'll be driven from mankind to be among the beasts in the field. And your food will be grass. That will be your portion. And your dwelling place will be just in the grass, under the air. And your body will be white, like a beast. What you eat will be like a bull. You will lose your reason for a while of 7 times. What is that? That is God making that great image beast. This is actually what Nebuchadnezzar was. A big human, that was not what Nebuchadnezzar was. That's what can pretend. That was, it can mask. But your actual being, your real being, your sincere being, your genuine being, is a beast. God will expose you. You are the first beast in chapter 7. Then Daniel advised him, exhort him to break from sins, to break from iniquities. Advise him that his prosperity may be prolonged. And this was Daniel's good word, exhorting him to be improved. You know that verse? 27. Break off your sins by doing righteousness. And this means you are not righteous. You have killed so many persons without righteousness, just according to your pleasure, to your will. You like, you will, you just kill. And break off your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Good advice. This describes what Nebuchadnezzar was. He was such a person. Then you read verse 28, 29. Did he change? He didn't change. there was no repentance, no change.
Francis, it seems that Daniel was quite desperate, cooperating with Jehovah to do his best to bring Nebuchadnezzar into the realization of what sort of person he really was. And we see this in verse 27, which Witness Lee was quoting there. But it's not that easy for a king to see. Actually, it's not that easy for any of us to see what we're really like. So in Nebuchadnezzar's case, the Lord had to take some very drastic measures. How about for us? What kind of lessons can we glean from this, Francis?
Well, I think if we draw some lessons, Daniel was faithful to God to give this man his real interpretation of his dream of what would happen to him. And he gave him a period of time to repent. And I think this is our lesson for this. When we realize what we're like, we need to have a genuine, thorough repentance, a change. And that's the thing that Nebuchadnezzar did not do for a whole 12 months. So he saw the effect of that reluctance to repent, and he actually experienced all the things that Daniel had told him were in the dream for him to lose the kingdom and his power.
Yeah, it seems here that Daniel was even instructing him or doing his best to cause him to realize if he would repent, perhaps this devastation that was foreseen in the dream could be held away. But the king just could not bring himself to find a repentant heart, and the pride and self-exaltation were just too much for him to deal with. So the Lord found a way, didn't he?
He did, and I think that this is a real lesson to us, that we may not be that great in our appearance, but inwardly we were surely a low beast, and we need to repent.
Francis, we have one section to go. Let's join Witness Lee as we look again at the outcome of Nebuchadnezzar.
Daniel advised him. After 12 months, God did give him a long period, a whole year, for him to repent. But there was no repentance, no change. Then, rather, one day, he was watching on the roof. While he was walking, he looked at the great Babylon. He said, "Is this not the Babylon the Great? Which I build." Pride. Built up as a royal house by my might, of my power, and for my majesty. While the word was still in his mouth, a voice came from heaven. "You're through. Your kingdom will leave you." This is the lesson given to Nebuchadnezzar, the proud one, due to his pride, to teach him to know that he was nothing. But the very mighty God whom he praised at the beginning of this chapter is everything. He is the ruler of the heavens. He rules over the earth. You are just a beast according to your nature. According to what you are, according to your being, you are not a man. You are a beast. So his heart of a man was taken away, replaced with the heart of the beast. This great general, Nebuchadnezzar, he has lost his reason. He became a beast. What is that? For a man to be there, losing the heart of man replaced with the heart of the beast, eating grass, and his hair becomes what? The bird's feathers, and his nails become the claws of the beast. What is that? Then, at the end of this 7 periods, it was very good, the Bible says, he lifted up to heaven. All the beasts always look down because they have four legs. That's the human way. When Nebuchadnezzar was made a beast, he was this way. After 7 weeks, he stand up, his 2 feet became 2 hands. Now the reason comes back. He becomes another person. Surely this man has learned the lesson to know God. This is his second priest. The first priest was demonstrated at the beginning of the chapter. That is too short, and this one's longer. He learned the lesson. You could only praise according to what you know and according to what you are. So he learned the lesson. And because he's able to abase those, including Nebuchadnezzar, who walk in pride. This is the last word of his praise through his lesson.
Well, Francis, eventually God had no choice but to allow Nebuchadnezzar to outwardly become the very beast that he had inwardly been all along. The Lord gave him a long time to repent before he took this strong action, Francis, and we see the outcome of his reluctance to repent. Actually, the Lord's mercy is when he shows us what we really are and then gives us an opportunity to repent, isn't it?
Yes, that certainly would be the lesson we could get and should get from this whole account, because Nebuchadnezzar had to go through this kind of experience. That was the real fulfillment of his dream that Daniel had interpreted. But at the end, Nebuchadnezzar's reasoning came back as soon as he looked upward toward the heavens. Because he had changed, his reasoning returned. And I think we should take real hope in this, that if we will turn, the Lord gives us time to turn. But there does come a time when that time is up. And he may take us through a lot of experiences to reduce us, to show us what we are by nature. Really, our beastly nature will eventually come out. But thank the Lord. In this case, Nebuchadnezzar did have a turn, and his kingdom was returned. His reasoning came back to him. So he eventually praised, exalted, and honored the King of the heavens, because his works are truth and his ways justice, and because he is able to abase those who walk in pride. This is what the message ends up with, that we really do have reason to thank the Lord. He does warn us, and if we take the warning, we may have an extended time. If we do not take the warning, we may have to go through such drastic evidences to prove what we really are within us.
Yeah, this is the Lord shining, and as we have said, this really is his mercy. Eventually, we will all realize what we really are, which really helps us to find out what he really is, Francis.
That's right.
Thank you for being with us on a program that had a topic not easy to convey. These chapters reveal the hidden things. We began that way by pointing out these are not just simple Bible stories. There's something quite deep and weighty in all of these messages.
That has been one of the things about these dreams here that make it so difficult for us to see. If it wasn't for Daniel's interpretation, we would really be lost.
Well, Daniel was cooperating to help the Lord with Nebuchadnezzar. I think he's cooperating with the Lord to help the Lord with us too, Francis, to get these points. Thank you, Francis. We will part by telling you our toll-free number. Invite you to contact us for the printed life study messages. The volume for Daniel is 17 messages, all in one volume this time. And it's available for our listeners. We have other material as well. So please call us. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world, before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.
What is the church?
The church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. The body of Christ is not an organization, but an organism, constituted of all the regenerated believers for the expression and activities of the head. The body of Christ is the issue of the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ, who has come into the church. By means of the ascended Christ's heavenly transmission, we are made one with him, and thus his body is produced. Scripture, Ephesians 1:23, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.